But tonight we're going to look at this, the danger of debt, which brings us to Proverbs 22, verse number 7. We'll look at some bunch of other verses as we go in through the lesson. Proverbs 22, verse number 7. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. That gives us an idea about debt. The borrower, that would be the one who's in debt, is servant to the lender. Now, when we think about this, the danger of debt, I had a friend who used to say, I had one friend who used to say, ministry would be a great thing with one for people, but this is a different friend. This friend used to say, there's no stress like financial stress. Now, I can't tell you that that's an absolute truth, but I think as a general saying, that's probably pretty true. Financial stress really, it can really cause a lot of sleepless nights, a lot of division, a lot of arguments, a lot of frustration. Now, one source of that financial stress is debt. Maybe the biggest source of the stress is debt. Now, watch, because this is part of what we're going to be talking about, especially credit card debt. It's one thing to have a debt on a house or a car, but credit card debt, that creates a lot of stress. Now, I looked this up, and you can look it up and find the numbers maybe slightly different, but this is what it's supposed to be. The average credit card debt, now watch how I say this, with unpaid balances. So not the average credit card debt overall, but the credit card debt where people are not paying it off each month. So there's rollover, okay? The average credit card debt with unpaid balances, and I would imagine this is based on all the people who have credit cards, this is U.S., is $7,279. That's what they're rolling over every month. Think about that. Nearly $7,300 every month on a credit card that they're not paying off. Now, here's the kicker. That's an average of 20% interest. So you're lucky to pay it off anything, and it would take you like forever to pay off $7,300, especially if you're just paying the minimum payments. So there's a lot of financial stress when it comes to credit card debt. Now, the Bible doesn't say that debt itself is wrong. So I'm not telling you debt is wrong. It's usually not good for most of the debt that people get into, but you can't say, now, and there's some people who say, you know, if you go in debt, you're, you know, violating scripture and blah, blah, blah. Well, there may be some scripture violating based on the debt and so forth, but debt itself is not wrong. But much of the reason for debt, as well as how the debt is used, is wrong. So let me show you some verses that tell us that debt in itself isn't wrong. Because there are some people who try to say otherwise, and we have to go by what the scripture says. So Exodus 22, if you will. Exodus 22. Exodus 22. Look with me at verse 25. Now, I'm not encouraging debt. When I say debt's not wrong, I'm not saying go out and get in debt. I'm just saying we can't say debt is wrong because the Bible doesn't say debt is wrong. I would avoid it. I would stay away from it. But you can't say it's wrong to have debt. Exodus 22, look with me at verse 25. If thou lend money to any of my people that is poor by thee, thou shalt not be to him as a usurer, neither shalt thou lay upon him usury, basically interest. And so, again, he's not condemning debt. He's actually just saying, if this is what you do, if there's going to be some lending going on, don't be charging interest. I'll show you one more place, Leviticus 25. Leviticus 25. And go with me to verse 35. Basic similar teaching, just so you see, it's just not a one-off statement. You'll see it again here in Leviticus. There's other places. I just showed you two. Leviticus 25, verse 35. And if thy brother be waxen poor and fallen in decay with thee, then thou shalt relieve him. Now, it could mean that you're going to give him money, but also, if you'll see in the context, it also talks about loaning. Yea, though he be a stranger or a sojourner, that he may live with thee. Take thou no usury, so therefore there's a loaning going on, because that would be the interest. Take thou no usury of him or increase, but fear thy God, that thy brother may live with thee. Thou shalt not give him thy money upon usury, nor lend him thy victuals for increase. So debt in itself is not wrong. Now, the reason for debt could be wrong. How the debt is used could be wrong. But debt in and of itself is not wrong. So here's probably my favorite. Turn me down a notch, if you will. Here's maybe my favorite statement of the whole Bible study. Debt is like electricity. Used properly, it can be good. Used improperly, it can be very bad. So debt is like electricity. Now let me show you a couple of different examples of it, what I'm talking about. Buying a house within your means, okay? Within your means. Buying a house within your means can be a good use for debt. Typically, as you pay the house mortgage down, the value of your house goes up. It'll lease typically. Now, there are exceptions. Depends on certain other things. But typically, most of the time, the value of your house is going to stay the same or most likely increase. So your value of your house is increasing and as you're paying it off. So when it's all paid off, you have something to show for that. You have some tangible asset. So that can be a good use. Most people don't have $150,000, $200,000, $300,000 to just pluck down for a house. So buying a house within your means can be a good use for debt. Now let's flip it over. Buying consumables on credit. Consumables be like groceries, could be like gas, could be appliances, could be furniture, things that you're just going to use up. Buying consumables on credit and then paying them off over time with interest is typically a bad use for debt. Because as you pay them off, the value decreases. Especially if you're going in debt to buy your groceries, they're going to be all gone and you're still going to be paying on credit with interest. So that's a very bad use of debt. So again, I'm just trying to explain, debt in and of itself is not wrong. How we're using it or the reason behind it can be wrong. Now, typically, or maybe broadly speaking, the reason for our bad use of debt is often found in the motivation for the debt. If we're using debt to finance something we want but cannot afford. Now notice, we want it, but I can't afford it, so I'm going to debt to get it. That's bad. I didn't say you need it, I said you want it. You want it, but you can't afford it. Now, if you can afford it, that's a whole different story. But I mean, you can't afford it, you know you can't afford it, but you want it, so you go in this debt to get it. That's usually a bad use of debt. Using debt to live at a higher standard to impress others is a bad use of debt. So again, we're trying to drive home this point. Debt in and of itself is not wrong. It's the using of it, the reason behind it, the motivation. Those are the things that we got to be careful of. Now, some people say, well, you know, sometimes emergencies happen. And yes, I understand that. I've been there. But emergencies that cause us to go into unexpected, unwanted debt, those happen. But those type of emergencies tend to happen once a year, not once a month. If you're going in debt once a month for an emergency, it's not an emergency. It's either lack of planning or lack of saving. There's other problems going on. If it's a constant, okay, it's not an emergency when it's happening all the time. Okay, it's more of a pattern. So we got to be careful about going into debt. Again, I'm trying to drive home the point. Debt is not bad. The reason for the debt is what you got to be concerned about. Now, the greater danger of debt is not the financial stress. So it does create financial stress, but that's not the worst thing. The worst thing about debt is the spiritual issues behind the debt. That's what we're talking about, the motivation, the reason. So it is the spiritual dangers, not the financial dangers of debt, that we're going to be focusing on. Are there financial dangers? Yeah, there's a lot of financial dangers by going in debt and not being able to pay for it or going way over your head and then having to deal with all kinds of stuff. There are financial dangers, financial stress. But the spiritual dangers are the ones we're going to be looking at. What is the motivation? What is the reason? Is there something in our life, in our heart that's not right, that we're violating Scripture and we've got all accumulating all of this debt? So that's how we're going to be approaching this Bible study tonight. So go with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to look at four things. You'll see that from your worksheet. Four things, four dangers when concerning debt. So Matthew 6, if you will. Matthew 6, look with me at verse 30. We'll read from verse 30 down to verse 34. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, no anxiety, no worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, take no thought, no worry, no anxiety for the morrow. For the morrow shall take anxiety for the things of itself. In other words, there's plenty of anxiety for tomorrow. You don't have to worry about it today. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So that brings us to the first danger. Number one is this. Debt is a danger when it comes from a lack of faith. When I'm going into debt because I'm not trusting the Lord for my needs, there's a spiritual danger here. Debt used as a replacement of trust in God for your needs is dangerous both financially and spiritually. For most of the time, it's easier to reach into your wallet or your purse or whatever, put down a piece of plastic rather than to get in your prayer closet and pray. So that's a lack of faith. Before a believer goes into long-term or consumer debt, either way, there should be a time of prayer and seeking God's leading in that decision. So let's talk about the elephant in the room. Pastor, hey, hang on, let me whisper it to you so no one hears but me and you. Pastor White bought a new car.
I know.
Now, my old car, which I still have, by the way, I'm still hanging on to it. I'm thinking I'm going to get a few more miles. 14 years old, 270,000 miles. Now, it's not a record. I mean, I'm sure people have gotten more. But I kind of like to have more. But it became to the point where I'd get in the car and years ago, I used to get in the car and I'd say, Lord, please help me not to get a ticket. Help me not get in an accident. Help me not to break down. Now, the first two are, you know, up to me, really. Don't get in an accident. Don't get a ticket. But the third one, sometimes I'm like, Lord, I don't know about this car if it's going to make it. When I get to that third point again on my black sports car, then I said, I'm starting to be concerned whether I'm going to make it to, like, I have to do the federal grand jury. And so I'm driving down, you know, and I'm thinking, I hope this car doesn't overheat. I hope it doesn't break down. Lord, help me to get there. And then on the way back, Lord, help me to get home. Look at all this traffic. And I said, you know, I might start thinking about there might be a time to get something a little more reliable. Now, I'll tell you what I did. I said, Lord, I need a real good deal or I need a great interest rate. I got a pretty decent deal. I mean, they didn't get it to me for free. That's what I was hoping for. But I got a 0.99%. Now, for me, that was a great, great interest rate. My entire finance charge for and it's a four-year loan, for the entire four-year loan is less than one car payment. And I was like, okay, this is pretty good. It's a pretty good deal. Now, I still got to pay the car off, and it still takes me 4 years to do it. And I'd rather not have a four-year car note. But overall, it was a great deal for me. But all I'm saying is this. I didn't just walk in the car lot and say, okay, I want that one. I did some research. I did some praying. I said, Lord, here are some conditions I think that I need to be met. And what I'm saying is before we go into debt, there should be some seeking of the Lord, some prayer, some saying, Lord, can you open the right door, provide the right thing, instead of just jumping into it without ever even considering what the Lord's leading may be. If it's a long-term debt, make sure it's God's will and it aligns with other biblical principles. If it's a consumer debt, it's something, you know, you're thinking about buying on credit, maybe some clothes or maybe it's, something, some furniture you need or something, or some appliance, before you go into debt. Now, if you got the money, if you saved it up, that's a different story. I'm talking about going into debt. Before you go into the debt, you ought to say, Lord, is there a way you can provide this? Is there a way you can meet this need without me having to go into debt over it? And you might be surprised how the Lord can do that. Again, buying on credit isn't wrong. But it's wrong to buy on credit because you failed to trust the Lord. You never prayed about it. You never sought the Lord. You isn't right. If credit is your first thought, that's the wrong thought. The first thought should be prayer. Let's seek the Lord in this thing. Now, watch this. It may be, think about the need you have. It may be that God is using your circumstances with that need to teach you other spiritual lessons that will be voided by your rush to go into debt. Maybe the Lord's putting you in a place of need so you'll seek Him. Some lessons can only be learned through times of want and need. When I say want, I don't mean you want it. I mean in the old meaning of it, lack. Times of lack and need. Go with me to Philippians 4. Philippians 4, look with me at verse 11. Philippians 4, verse 11. Again, I'm not criticizing debt. I'm going to keep saying that because there are those who are very critical of debt. I'm not criticizing debt. I'm criticizing what is behind the debt. I'm not really criticizing. I'm warning, I guess I could say. I'm admonishing what's behind the debt. Philippians 4, look with me at verse 11. Here's what Paul said. Not that I speak in respect of want or lack, for I have learned in whatsoever state. Now notice, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. When you learn something, that means you didn't know it, right? And then you learned it. So Paul did not know this, but he learned this. What did he learn? He learned to be content. He says, now, I know, this is what he's learned, I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Now notice the next verse, which is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How could he say this? Why could he say this? Because he had learned that God could meet his needs. Therefore, I can do all things. Whatever God wants, I can do. Because I've learned that how God will meet my needs. Now, how do you learn that? By having the needs. And so if you never have needs or never go to the Lord and with your needs, you're not going to learn how God meets your needs. So debt is a danger when it comes from a lack of faith. That makes debt dangerous. Let's look at a second danger tonight. James chapter 4. This is similar but different. Or as some say, the same thing but only different. James chapter 4. James chapter 4, look with me at verse 13. There's a second danger now. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what should be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Notice, if the Lord will. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So that brings us to our second danger. Number two is this. Debt is a danger when it promotes presumption. Being presumptuous. It promotes presumption. Presumption. Now, here's what I mean by that. If one presumes, okay, you go in debt and you say, well, you know, I got this job. I'm always going to make this money. I'm always going to be healthy. It's always going to be this way. I'm just going to make this money and do these things without ever looking to the Lord. You are presuming that you have some control over your life. One of the reasons we seek the Lord, because the Lord may know something about your future that you don't. In fact, the Lord knows everything about your future and you know nothing about your future. So if one presumes that he will just keep on living with the same financial gain, then one presumes that he and not God has control over his life. The reason to seek God before going into debt is that only God knows how your life will be while you have that debt. Now, I said I got a 4-year loan on a car. Do I know what's going to happen in the next 4 years? No. I have no idea. So that's why I say, okay, Lord, you know, based on how things are, you got to take care of me here and look to me and lead me in this thing. So you don't want to be presumptuous when it comes to debt. Now, watch this statement. A believer should not live in fear of his future. That is true. But neither should he live presumptuously as if he can control his future. That's also wrong. Living in fear of my future, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen. What's going to happen in the economy? I don't know. Okay, that's wrong. You should trust the Lord. But being presumptuous, saying, oh yeah, it's just going to be this way. I'm always going to have this job. I'm not going to always make this money. And that's also wrong. Being presumptuous. We live by faith, not presumption. It is unwise to go in debt. Now watch this. Simply based on hope of a future gain that does not take into account other possible outcomes. Okay, so let me explain what I mean. So let's say you have this job. And last year you got a 10% raise. 2 years ago you got a 10% raise. Last year you got a 10% raise. You got a good job, don't you? And this year you get a 10% raise. How much raise are you going to get next year? You have no idea. Now, I'm telling you, people do this. If you go in debt based on, well, next year I'll get 10% more, next year after that I'll get 10% more, next year I'll get that, and 5, 6, 7 years down the road, I'll be making this kind of money. That's presumption. You don't know. You may not have a job a year down the road. So that's the type of presumption that I'm talking about. Okay, now, you may say, well, you know, I think I'm going to have my job for a while, but you have no idea whether you can keep getting those raises. You have no idea. I know of a church who had that, and I'm not trying to beat them up. Maybe I am a little, because it was really an unbelievably stupid thing they did. We do faith promise for missions, which is we support a mission based on what you promised to give in. It doesn't go through our regular budget. It's extra budget money. You make a faith promise, we make a faith promise to them, and it just funnels through the church. Now, that is probably the very best way to deal with missions. That is probably the very worst way to do a mortgage. What if we did a faith promise mortgage? Let me tell you what would happen. We would lose our building, and that's what that church did. It lost its building. Now, I know how some inner workings of that church. And basically what they said is this. I heard them say this. Well, you know, this year, so-and-so died, and they left X amount of dollars. And, you know, the year before that, so-and-so died, and they left X amount of dollars. And, we got some more old people here. They'll probably die this year. And they were counting on people dying and leaving them money when they set up their budget. How do you think that went? Okay. That's the type of presumption that gets you in trouble. So, if you're planning your money, your spending based on what you think will increase, there's a lot of foolishness in that. Let me tell you, those aren't the only people on the planet that was like that. It's not a unusual thing. Now, so I said we don't live in fear, but we don't live presumptuously. I'll give you one more statement about this. This does not mean that debt must be avoided without complete assurance of the outcome, because we're not going to have that. But rather an assurance that you can trust God regardless of the outcome. I got to be able to say, I trust the Lord that this is His will, and as I see what the Lord is doing here right now, not what I've seen in the future, but what He's doing right now, I can see how the Lord can provide for that. It's within the means I have right now. I'm not making any presumption about the future. So that is how we should be looking at it. In fact, look at James 4, look at verse 15, for that we ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. We're always looking to the Lord in these things. So debt is a danger when it comes from a lack of faith, and we're not even trusting the Lord. We're just going right into debt, throw down the plastic, not even thinking twice. Debt is a danger when it promotes presumption, when we're just going to just use debt because we just think sometime down the road I'll make more money and then pay for it. Okay? There's a third danger. That brings us to Romans 13. Now this one, probably the first two, you probably would have, yeah, I can see that, and you probably already thought about it. This one we may not think about. Romans 13. So this one may catch you a little bit, it may catch you unaware. You might have never thought this, maybe. Maybe you did. Maybe I'm Johnny come lately to this thought. Romans 13, verse 8. Look at verse 8, because the first half is a part that people use to preach against debt. Owe no man anything. Say, don't go in debt. That's not what that verse says. That's only part of what that verse says. It says, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. So what he's talking about is this. When I'm thinking about debt, I got to think of it in the context of how my relationships to people are going to work out. So that brings us to number three. Debt is a danger when it keeps us from loving others. That's really what he's hitting on there. It's not simply don't go into debt. It is you don't. If you go into debt and it hurts your relationships because you're trying to cheat and lie to people because you're debt, or you got all this stress and you can't deal with things because you're debt, or you can't help anyone because of your debt, that's when it's a problem. Debt is a danger when it keeps us from loving others. Many have forsaken generosity. We talked about that a lesson or two ago. We talked about being generous. There's some people who would say, Pastor, I would love to be generous, but I'm so much in debt, I have not one penny to spare. Let me tell you, your debt is wrong then. Because God expects you to help others. God does not expect you to spend every single penny on you. God expects you to be helping others with what He has provided. So many have forsaken generosity because of their debt. While others have lied, cheated, and even stolen from others to deal with their debt. Doing wrong to others. Now watch this. Doing wrong to others because you have to pay your bills. Now, this is a lot more common. And if you're sitting there saying, no one's like this. Either you haven't been paying attention, or you haven't gone outside your house for a very long time, like the last 6,000 years, or you're not being honest. There are people who go to work who take things that do not belong to them, and they say, man's got to make a living. No, that's not making a living, that's stealing. And the reason they do it, because they have all of the... No, the reason they do it is because they choose to sin. That's why they're doing it. But their justification, their rationalization is, this will help me out. And so some people steal things from their job and sell it on the side so they make some money so they can pay their debt. And they say, man's got to make a living. That is completely wrong, especially for believers. It's absolutely, positively wrong. It's never an excuse to sin because of your debt. You deal with your debt. You don't cheat and lie and steal because of your debt. So helping others, especially fellow believers, is a responsibility that every believer has. Now, we saw this in a previous lesson. I'm not going to redo all the verses. I'm just going to tell you this. Everyone sitting in this room, everyone who claims to be a born-again believer, you have a responsibility to invest in fellow believers. And if you've put yourself in so much debt that you can't do anything for anyone, you've done wrong. And God did not give you that money just so you can keep piling it up and go into all kinds of debt. God expects you to invest in the lives of others. This is our responsibility. Now, some can do more than others based on what God has provided. I understand that. But everyone can do something. So helping others is our responsibility. Financial debt that prevents this. Okay? If I can't help others because of my debt, and it keeps me from fulfilling this responsibility, then it's unbiblical. So here's what I would counsel you. Before you go into debt on something, and we'll talk about a spending plan one of these weeks, but before you go in debt, you got to say, if this takes every spare penny I have, this is not right to do. Because somewhere along the line, I got to help people. This is what the Lord expects from me. I got to help. Maybe I can't buy them new cars, but I should be able to do something for people. So debt is dangerous when it comes from a lack of faith. Debt is dangerous when it promotes presumption. Debt is dangerous when it keeps us from loving others. These are all spiritual dangers. And then there's a fourth one. Let's go with me to Matthew 6. And then we'll go right back to our verse we started with, which is Proverbs 22. Come full circle back to it. Matthew chapter 6. Look with me at verse 19. We're talking about faith and finances, not just finances, faith and finances. That's why we're talking about the spiritual danger of debt. Matthew 6, look with me at verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Notice verse 24, all that leading us to verse 24. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one, love the other one, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. That brings us back to our verse we started with, Proverbs 22, verse 7, which says this, the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. You get over your head in debt, you're no longer a servant to God. You're a servant to all the banks and all the credit card holder institutions and so forth and so on. So that brings us to number four. Debt is a danger when it keeps us from serving God. If my debt keeps me from serving God because I'm so much in debt and I can't do anything but work and pay off debt, that is a danger, a spiritual danger. So there is a grave danger in becoming so entangled in debt that we serve our creditors rather than serving God. When that happens, when we get so far in debt that all we can do is just work. Do you know anyone? Don't tell me their name. But you know someone, I know people, who are so much in debt, their whole life is wrapped around paying their debt. It's all they can do. They can just work and pay off debt and work and pay off debt and work and pay off debt. They can't do anything else. They're a slave to whom they borrowed from. They got credit card debt, they got car debt, they got house debt, and they've gone on vacations on debt, they bought groceries on debt, they've remodeled their house, and now there's more debt, and they just have all this accumulated debt. And all they do is they live their life serving their debt. That's not how the Lord created us. We're created to serve Him. And debt can be okay if it's used properly, but that's not the proper use of debt. That is a danger, spiritual danger. That's a lot more danger than that. So that's a grave danger. We serve our creditors rather than serving God. When that happens, when we begin serving creditors and not serving God, when that happens, then we will focus on how to make money rather than how to please God. That's when we start rationalizing and justifying everything. If you go back to Matthew 6, I probably should have just told you to put your finger there, but if you go back to Matthew 6, look with me at verse 33. We saw that earlier. We like that verse. We quote that verse. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Well, what comes before verse 33? Verse 24. No man can serve two masters. You got to choose which master you're serving. And if you're not serving God, based on verse 24, you can't claim the promise of verse 33. You can't claim that God's going to give all these things that you need when you're not serving Him according to verse 24. You got to serve Him and be faithful to Him if you want to say, Lord, I'm seeking You first, so now, Lord, I need these things. So debt is a danger when it keeps us from serving God. Let's get to the end. Ideally, this would be the ideal thing. We would never go into debt and pay everything in full with cash. Now, I would say this about credit card debt itself. If you use a credit card, let's say you're going to buy your gas on credit cards, and at the end of the month you pay the whole credit card off, that's not what I'm talking about. Okay? Sometimes people would rather do that with credit cards, sometimes for the reward, sometimes they don't want to carry cash with them. But at the end of the month, there's no carryover of debt. Okay, that's a totally different situation. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the debt you're carrying over, and you're carrying over, and you're only paying the minimum, or minimum plus a little, and it just, and that the total big balance is hanging over your head. Okay, that's the problem. Now, ideally, we would never go in debt. We pay everything in full with cash, even if you're paying at the end of the month, paying everything off, same thing. Now, even though this may be possible for some things, most likely major purchases like new cars and new houses or houses can't be that way. Most, the average person in America cannot afford to walk into a real estate place and say, okay, I want that house. Here, here's $300,000, and you walk away. I don't know too many people that way. Few people, but not too many. So what happens? You have to get a loan. And most people can't go in a car dealer, and talking about buying a new car. I bought cars on cash, but it's been like, okay, you know, a few dollars here. Okay, but I'm talking about a really nice car. Some people can. Probably more people can do that than buy houses. But not all of us. All of us don't have that kind of money. Okay, ideally, we wouldn't go in debt. Ideally, we'd pay in full with cash. Okay, but that's not always the case. So when we start thinking about debt, okay, let's just circle back around. When we start thinking about debt, if we understand the danger of debt, we'll only want to use it carefully and properly, like electricity. If we understand the danger of it, we'd be very careful. Wait a minute, let me think about this before I do that. I've got to be careful. We would avoid using debt as much as possible, saving up to buy instead of going to debt. Now, that may not, again, doesn't always work for cars and houses. Those are big ticket items. But most of the time, you could do it for a vacation. Most of the time, you could do it for maybe you're buying a couch or something. You know, those things, you could typically, most of us can save up to buy. So we avoid using debt as much as possible. And then the last statement is this. We would consider the motive for debt, not just the payment of the debt. It's not what can I afford, it's why am I doing this. Debt can cost us spiritually, not just financially. So not can I, but is this the right thing to do? So those are the dangers of debt. Well, let's pray, and we will be done.